ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Dozens of people were hurt when a car plowed into a crowd outside of a music venue overnight in Los Angeles. LA Fire Department spokesman Adam Van Gerpen said,
"The scene when they arrived was very chaotic. Ultimately, there ended up being a total of 30 patients. So out of those 30 patients, seven of them were critical, what we call immediate.
And three are still listed in critical condition. A total of 25 people transported to hospitals. Authorities are investigating what happened. Search for answers also underway after the explosion Friday at an L.A. Sheriff's Department training facility that killed three members of the department's explosives detail. Authorities say nobody else was hurt. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says 10 U.S. nationals are back in the country, returned as part of a large-scale prisoner exchange. And President Trump signed the first federal legislation that regulates cryptocurrency on Friday. This is ABC News. Passengers on a Delta flight from Los Angeles to Atlanta had a quick return to L.A. Friday. ABC's Alex Stone explains why.
After the Boeing 767 lifted off from LAX, the crew got an indication in the cockpit of an engine fire. The pilots told air traffic control they activated both bottles of fire retardant in that engine.
Yeah, they had a fire indication in the left engine.
The audio from liveatc.net. The plane landed safely back at LAX and taxied to a gate. Delta says its maintenance teams are inspecting the aircraft and passengers were put onto different flights. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A SkyWest plane was diverted mid-flight on Thursday after authorities say a 23-year-old man from Nebraska became unruly during the flight and tried to open the door and got into a fight with a flight attendant. The plane headed for Detroit diverted to Iowa. And construction halted at the new home of the NFL's Tennessee Titans in Nashville after construction workers found a noose at the site. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Milwaukee film critic Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Charlie Pittman. A nonprofit in northeastern Wisconsin serves people with major disabilities, but it's getting mixed messages from lawmakers on whether the families it serves will be impacted by federal Medicaid cuts. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection reports.
The nonprofit CP serves about 200 people in northeast Wisconsin that have complex physical or developmental disabilities, nearly all of whom use Medicaid to pay for their services. Julie Tesloff is the director of adult day services and says about 75% of clients are in wheelchairs and unable to reposition themselves. She explains the exercise program CP offers is crucial to prevent patients from developing pressure sores.
A sore on the butt costs a lot of money. It's like anywhere from $30,000 to $150,000. And once one of our clients has a pressure sore, it stays with them for a long time.
She says their program focuses on functional skills training using adaptable equipment funded through grants and community support. Tesloff says most of their clients are deemed to have a level of disability that could place them in a nursing home, and most are poor. About half live with their parents, who she says can easily experience burnout. She explains the day services provide respite for these caregivers and prevent costly nursing home placements for clients. Starting December of 2026, most Medicaid recipients will be required to complete at least 80 hours per month of work, schooling, or community service to retain coverage. There are exceptions, but it's not clear if they will apply to people caring for an adult with a disability. John Cinder Vandergaard, executive director at CP, says lawmakers have assured them that their clients won't be impacted.
But then in the next breath, they're all telling us that they can't necessarily be certain about that because they don't know the details. And in many cases, it's sobering to say that they haven't even worked their way through all of the legislation yet.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. We're kicking off this brand new issue with a trivia question for you. Of all the plastics produced in the United States, what percent do you think is actually recycled? Is it 5%, 25%, or 75%? Are you surprised to know that according to the group Beyond Plastic, just 5% of plastics produced are recycled? And during the past 30 years, our use of plastics has quadrupled. So we have some work to do. So in this issue of New Wisco Weekend, our cover story focuses on recycling. Specifically, we're looking at plastic recycling because July is Plastic Free Month. And while that might be difficult to achieve in our modern world that's swimming in plastic, there are some things that we can do to reduce the amount of plastic in the landfills. We'll learn more during our talk with Jordan Hiller, the Recycling and Solid Waste Program Coordinator for Outagamie County. Amanda Nimmer takes up the topic in our commentary as she urges listeners to recycle and recycle properly. We also have stories on a trap shooting tournament and the reason behind it, plus a reminder about the very real danger of flash flooding. And then on the lighter side, we've got Pete Schwabba's Classic Cinema Pick of the Week, and our music segment features one of Northeast Wisconsin's favorites, 7,000 Apart. We open this issue of New Wisco Weekend with an overall look at plastic recycling in our state, starting at the beginning. Here's what officials with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources said about it 30 years ago.
Plastics became landfill banned in 1995 as a part of the group of materials that you likely commonly recycle at your home and work and at school. So items like paper and cardboard and containers made of aluminum, steel, glass, and in plastic particularly, the law calls out plastic containers, so not everything made of plastic. Plastic containers, and then the two that are banned from landfill disposal at this time are number one and number two, so PETE and HDPE. So things like water and soda bottles, detergent bottles, and milk jugs. Those are technically banned from landfill disposal and can be recycled everywhere in Wisconsin.
Turns out a state resident volunteered to lead those recycling efforts. Our Terry Barr digs into this surprising piece of the story, along with how a pledge could make a simple difference right now.
You are listening to the sound of recyclable materials being sorted. A law in 1990 banned certain items from the landfill, and mandated state residents have access to recycling programs. It took a few years to realize plastic products need separate attention. And the triangle numbered system, now synonymous with plastics recycling, it was created for use across the country by a Wisconsin woman. Millie Zantow was inspired by the sorting system she saw during a trip to Japan in the 1970s. Research reveals Zantow came home determined to deal with plastic waste and created the numbering system we still use today. But if your recycling bin is still always full, what if you could cut the pile in half with just a couple simple changes? It's the idea behind what's known as Plastic Free July. This worldwide challenge encourages you to further reduce your dependence on single-use plastics for the rest of the month and maybe even beyond. And here's the best part. You don't have to go zero waste overnight. Here's what I've learned. Simply start by saying no to the top four plastics you may see or use every day. We're talking about plastic bags, plastic water bottles, those takeaway coffee cups, and plastic straws. And let's take it further with the idea of a reusable kit. This would include a reusable coffee cup, your own reusable shopping bags, containers, anything and everything you need to skip the disposable stuff. The key? Keep it achievable. Focus on those small wins. The more you succeed, the more motivated you'll actually feel to keep going, and you'll likely inspire others around you to do the same. And Wisconsin's own Millie Zantow, whose work on the plastics numbering system even led to learning more about the properties of plastics, would be proud. She died in 2014, but always believed you don't have to be perfect. You just have to start.
And you can start by being part of the Plastic Free Challenge this month. Find more information, including a quiz about plastic products, at plasticfreejuly.org. Ah, summertime, the season for travel. It's also the season for storms and waves of heavy rainfall. As we skip across the state, meteorologist Brittany Merlot dives into the state's highways to figure out exactly what we should do if we're ever caught in a flash flood at high speeds.
The classic saying goes, turn around, don't drown. It's catchy, and it's made that way for a reason.
If they're driving and they can turn around and go to a safe location, they should do that. We don't want drivers going through any standing water.
That's Rebecca Simkowski, the director of WisDOT Bureau of Highway Maintenance. While thankfully no one died in Wisconsin last year from a flood, there was plenty of damage done and thousands of dollars spent with heavy rain that hit, especially at the end of June. And in Illinois, three people died in a vehicle in floodwaters and one other in Iowa. With a total of 145 people across the country just last year, losing their lives in floods. And it's not always from rushing rivers overflowing their banks. Flash floods can do the same.
You know, the reason for that is we don't know how deep it is. We don't know if there's any exposed, wires or anything in the water. So, you know, the saying, the message of turn around, don't drown, should be clear. You know, we don't want them driving in any standing water, even rushing water, for that matter.
Especially on those county roads, they can be washed out and gone. You don't want to attempt driving through that. But what are we supposed to do when the storm hits and we're cruising at 70 miles per hour down the highway?
So they can pull over. Sometimes you can pull under a bridge if there's no standing water there.
Be sure to have those hazard lights on and get as far over as you can to give others space because the visibility is dropped.
Call their local police department to report some of the flooded roads. And in Wisconsin, the county highways maintain state highways, so they can also call the counties to report a flooding situation.
And after you've let law enforcement know that there's an undrivable area.
Yeah, so we don't have an established standard on when to close the road. But if there's standing water, what we would do is we would reach out to our regional offices that maintain those roads and also work with state patrol to determine if we need to close the road or not.
They will do it if they need to. Just last month, a portion of I-94 near Madison closed temporarily as torrential rain dumped inches down rapidly.
What we do try to do is leave the road open if we can, just so people don't have to divert or go a different route. But really, if our state patrol partners and our regional highway folks in our office determine that there's a safety need, they will go ahead and close the highway.
It's a process, though, and could take some time with all of the moving parts at work.
So if it's, say, on an interstate, they might need to close some ramps down so people aren't getting on the highway. If it's a small segment of roadway, we can put up some barricades at logical locations so that, you know, people can divert if they need to. If we do have a road closure, we will place that on our 511 Wisconsin system.
A useful tool when traveling, a must check when weather brings problems to the streets. What I like best is it also has cameras on the highways so you can see the live road conditions for yourself.
The law in Wisconsin is you should drive as fast as prudent, you know. Mm-hmm. So if the conditions warrant driving slower, you really should drive slower. Otherwise, you can get a ticket for that. So if somebody does see a truck speeding by and they have concerns, they can call, you know, their local dispatch and report that.
Drive safe this summer and don't let a highway puddle pull you in. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
New Wisco Weekend's commentator Amanda Nimmer definitely has an opinion on how you should recycle.
I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of the planet Earth. Why? Probably because it houses all of us, gives us air, gives us good weather once in a while. It's a pretty decent place to live. And usually, when you enjoy living somewhere, you want to take care of it, right? You know, like your home, maybe your car, preferably your children, your pets if you have them. But in this instance, it should be planet Earth as well. That should definitely be on your responsibility list. For more than just one day a year, which, by the way, Earth Day is Tuesday, April 22nd. Go plant a tree or something. And take a listen to this while you consider your Earth Day activities. Because I have some massive beef with the Wisconsin recycling programs. Because quite frankly, they suck. Did you know that in Wisconsin, the entirety of the state, they really only accept number one and number two plastics to recycle? Everything else is trash. And if they're not recycled in a proper way, they will throw them out as well. While 52% of households may be recycling, the percentage of that that actually makes it into a recycle facility and not a landfill is significantly lower due to poor practices of recycling or the programs that are offered. Like the fact that, again, Wisconsin only accepts number one and number two plastics as recyclable materials. And I don't know about you, but when I check my plastics, I have threes, fours, and fives. And it's bothersome. It's bothersome that this crap is going to end up in a landfill. And there's really no incentive other than caring about your planet in order to recycle. It's just not in everyone's front mind. And while places like Milwaukee and Madison have higher percentages than the rest of the state for plastic and garbage that actually makes it to the recycling facilities, it's still not enough. And we can do better. You can do better. You can do better by writing, and I mean this, write to your capital, write to your political leaders and let them know that our recycling programs are absolute trash and we can do better. We can do so much better. For instance, I was in Germany for some time and they pay you to recycle. It's called the Pfand system, and it was implemented a handful of years ago, and actually they got the idea from Spain. So basically, there is a deposit on all bottles in Germany, which, I mean, it's not even detrimental to the price of the product. And these stores incentivize people to return them by having the Pfand Automaten at the front or the back of every store, where you can return the bottles, plastic bottles, aluminum, glass, single-use plastic, cans, and other containers. And it will tally up all the deposits. You will get a receipt, and you can take it to a cashier to either cash out, or you can use it in the store for groceries, or what have you. Does that not sound amazing? And yes, in Wisconsin, you can turn in your aluminum cans to the aluminum facilities and get paid for those. But that's just one option. With the Pfand Automaten, you have several different options. This is what we need. And if we can't get it, then at the very least, we need changes to our recycling program. Because did you know there's seven different types of plastic out there? And Wisconsin's only taking one and two out of seven. That's not right. Do yourself a favor. And I say yourself because, again, this is your planet too. Look up the proper way to recycle. Don't just assume the facility is going to do it because, quite frankly, the state doesn't have the budget or the people to sort your garbage for you. It's your responsibility to get it right the first time. And the last time I wrote in, this was the response I got. But if people learned how to recycle better and do it the right way, they would then be able to use more of their own resources toward accepting other plastics. It's got to start with you. So hop to it. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
When we come back, movies and trap shooting. First, some new statistics from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. They reveal that more than 90% of residents across the state feel recycling is important, but just 58% of that number are recycling on a regular basis. This is New Wisco Weekend.
There's nothing quite like eating a meal and knowing that some of it goes to a great cause. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And you can enjoy a great meal from Oshkosh's Red Robin on Thursday, July 31st to help the homeless animals at Oshkosh Area Humane Society. On the 27th, Red Robin is donating 20% of their food sales to help the Oshkosh Area Humane Society. And all you got to do is just mention it to your wait staff. Plus, you can do it online too. Figure out how by going to WISS.FM and clicking Events.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this breed, is breed. Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or...
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend on your local Civic Media radio stations, WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Still ahead on New Wisco Weekend, our musical guest, 7,000 Apart. A quick backstory here. Amelie is a foreign exchange student from Sweden, and she meets John at Preble High School in Green Bay. The two are now married and making amazing music. That's coming up. Right now, though, how about we delve into Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
When someone makes a movie about you, you've either done something great or something horribly wrong. This week's classic movie focuses on the former and tells the story of an unemployed single mother of three who takes on a giant corporation. If you haven't figured it out yet, the film is Erin Brockovich. Julia Roberts stars in this film about a real-life character who is injured in a car accident by a doctor and loses her legal battle due to a courtroom outburst while being cross-examined. Needless to say, her lawyer is not happy with her and at first won't even return her phone calls. Erin Brockovich, however, is someone who cannot be kept down, and her lawyer, Ed Masri, played by Albert Finney, knows this firsthand. He eventually caves and gives her a job at his law firm. Given her new position, Brockovich takes it upon herself to investigate a real estate case involving the Pacific Gas and Electric Company, or PG&E, which has been polluting water near a home the company would like to purchase. Brockovich finds out the family considering selling the home has tons of medical bills and has residual illnesses thanks to the groundwater polluted with carcinogens, which PG&E has been lying about. Masri notices that Brockovich has been absent from work and fires her, unaware she's been consumed with the case, but eventually finds out Brockovich has been on the job, gaining the trust of the sick family's entire community and providing her boss with a huge class action lawsuit.
At least they made an offer.
That wasn't an offer. A million would have been an offer. And they sent a mail clerk down to jerk me off, waste my time.
Why would they do that?
Because they can. You heard what that kid said? They have $28 billion at their disposal. They can afford to waste all the time in the world.
And you can't?
You think I'm made of money?
What are you yelling at me for?
Because I'm pissed off.
Good.
F*** you.
F*** you back.
I really hate you sometimes, you know that.
Oh, you love me.
The lawsuit really picks up steam thanks to a document brought forth by a former PG&E employee that proves the company knew the water was contaminated more so than they let on. Aaron Brockovich is directed by Steven Soderbergh. Soderbergh is one of the most renowned directors in Hollywood over the last 40 years. He burst onto the scene with his film Sex, Lies, and Videotape in 1989. He won a Best Director Oscar in 2000 for the film Traffic. Soderbergh drew inspiration directorially for Brockovich from Rocky and All the President's Men. He hit a home run with his cast as Julia Roberts was about the biggest name in Hollywood. Her performance as Brockovich was critically acclaimed, and she brought home the Best Actress Oscar in 2000 after being nominated for the award three times previously. In addition to the Academy Award, Roberts became the first actress to win Best Actress trophies at not only the Oscars, but the Screen Actors Guild Awards, BAFTAs, the Critics' Choice Awards, and the Golden Globe for the same role. Albert Finney is one of the most respected actors of all time, having been Oscar-nominated five times in his career. He was resistant about taking the role of Ed Masri because he didn't want to be in L.A. for any extended period of time. Producer Danny DeVito had to step in for some arm-twisting by using Finney's girlfriend to help convince him to take the role. It worked. In addition to the nominations for Soderbergh, Finney, and the win for Roberts, the film drew two more Oscar noms, one for Best Picture and one for Best Screenplay, for a total of five. Roberts experienced another milestone with the film, breaking ground, just like the character she portrayed, becoming the first woman to make $20 million for a film. Having a great story to bring to the big screen is also a nod to its real-life leading lady, a single mom, earth mover, and former beauty queen who quit the circuit because she found beauty pageants to be shallow. Her grit and resilience not only brought people a great film, but lots of relief to real-life victims. The movie truly was the total package. Excellent source material, great critics' response and audience approval, Oscar nominations, and commercial success as well, pulling in $250 million against a $50 million budget. Literally, all those components make Aaron Brockovich a classic. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
This is New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 96.5 and 98.3 WISS. Earlier this month, the Wisconsin State Trap Shooting Championship wrapped up at the WTA Shooting Complex in central Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend's Melissa Kay has that story.
More than 620 shooters participated throughout the week-long competition. Among those were many young people. Kyle Wojciechowski coaches the youth program and works for the Amateur Trap Shooting Association as the AIM state director. He said one of the highlights for him is shooting with his dad to try and win the parent-child trophy. They've won it a few times in the past. However, he's really there as a coach.
My favorite thing personally, I come down here for the kids to coach.
Many of these young people have been shooting trap for multiple years already and really enjoy not only the excitement of the sport, but also the discipline involved. At 15, Catherine said the 4 to 5 years she's been shooting trap has taught her many important life skills.
It teaches you a lot of things when you grow up, so then you learn crucial things like there's more than marksmanship, respect, integrity. It gets you out. Like, I used to be really introverted and I didn't talk to anyone, so now I guess I'm doing this.
And while there were a lot of trophies being awarded throughout the competition, these young people aren't just there for the prizes. 17-year-old Lillian had a realistic outlook for the event.
At the end of this weekend, I'm just hoping to come out with a couple trophies and a better average than I started with.
Our cover story on plastics and recycling with John Hiller is next. Meanwhile, another new survey shows we're generating more than 4 million tons of trash and recyclables every year. So what does that look like? Picture this. It's enough to fill a city street from curb to curb, and then that would be 4 feet deep and 575 miles long. We'll be back right after the news.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Dozens of people were hurt when a car plowed into a crowd outside of a music venue overnight in Los Angeles. LA Fire Department spokesman Adam Van Gerpen said,
"The scene when they arrived was very chaotic. Ultimately, there ended up being a total of 30 patients. So out of those 30 patients, seven of them were critical, what we call immediate.
And three are still listed in critical condition. A total of 25 people transported to hospitals. Authorities are investigating what happened. Search for answers also underway after the explosion Friday at an L.A. Sheriff's Department training facility that killed three members of the department's explosives detail. Authorities say nobody else was hurt. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says 10 U.S. nationals are back in the country, returned as part of a large-scale prisoner exchange. And President Trump signed the first federal legislation that regulates cryptocurrency on Friday. This is ABC News.
The Brewers shut out the Dodgers.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball.
The Brewers with a 2-0 shutout of the Dodgers last night in Los Angeles. William Contreras behind the plate. 23-year-old right-hander Quinn Priester on the mound kept the Dodgers batters guessing just how good of a performance manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, he was as good as I've seen him. You know what I mean? And we were going to take him out for Ohtani. And I just felt like he deserved it. He's got 6 innings of shutout going, and I felt like he deserved it, and he would grow a lot from doing this.
Right fielder Sal Frelick is on the 10-day injury list with a grade 1 strained left hamstring. Isaac Collins filled in, got on base in the 5th, and scored the Brewers' first run on a double by Caleb Durbin. Then in the 7th, Durbin, with a solo shot to deep center, sailed over the wall at 410 feet to make it 2-0 Milwaukee. The Brewers have now won 8 in a row. Game 2 against the Dodgers coming up tonight with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, the Kiss Cam couple is still reeling from the traumatic outing at a Coldplay concert last week. According to TMZ, Coldplay frontman Chris Martin is mortified that the couple were exposed thanks to him. Astronomer CEO Andy Byron was seen canoodling with the head of his HR department, Kristen Cabot. They probably figured it was safe going into a crowd of 65,000 people to check out Coldplay. They probably figured it was safe to go into a crowd of 65,000 people to check out Coldplay's record-breaking Music of the Spheres tour that actually started back in 2022, when Byron and Cabot were probably still just flirting. Many think Byron will resign or be forced out of his position, and as for Cabot, if she remains in HR, she'll have to get used to people laughing when they're called into her office to be scolded. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend, and I'm Lisa Hale, your host. July is plastic-free month. And while it might be very difficult to go completely plastic-free, I mean, it is
everywhere. It's in our grocery stores. It's in our household items. Plastic is king. So we might not be able to go plastic free, but we can definitely pay attention to plastic recycling. So I took the time to talk with Jordan Hiller, the Recycling and Solid Waste Program Coordinator with Outagamie County Recycling and Solid Waste. And here is that interview. So, Jordan, what are the different types of plastics that can be recycled through your single stream recycling services?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Usually when we start off the bat, there are thousands of types of plastics. So it doesn't make it easy. And even when it comes to when you're looking at your plastic items, you can see what people assume is the recycling symbol. It's the triangle with the number on the bottom. Unfortunately, that is not the case. That's not actually the recycling symbol. That is what's known as a resin code. So what that actually tells is other plastic manufacturers what type of plastic was used to make that material. Now, as I said earlier, there's literally thousands of types of plastics, but there's only seven numbers. And I can bore you really fast with all of the details on those. When it comes down to it, one stands for PET. That's going to be your plastic water bottles, soda bottles, things like that. Mm-hmm. Then there's plastic number two, which is HDPE. That's going to be your high density polyethylene. That's going to be things like your milk jugs and your laundry detergents. We'll break that up into two categories, opaque or natural, which is going to be the milk jugs, and then colored, which is going to be the shampoo bottles and laundry detergents. Then you have plastic number three, which is PVC. It's all the piping in your basement for the plumbing. Very toxic, not widely recycled anywhere. Four is LDPE. Those are going to be all your film plastics, like your shopping bags, not accepted curbside, but is recyclable. That's going to be at the store drop-offs for things like grocery stores and large retail stores, your cereal bags, bread bags, things like that. Those can go in there. Five is polypropylene. That is going to be a lot of your dairy containers and produce containers inside your refrigerator. That is acceptable. Six is polystyrene, also known as styrofoam. That is not widely accepted anywhere curbside. I will say here at Outagamie County Recycling, we do have a drop-off program where we do accept that type of plastic, polystyrene. It has to be clean white packaging foam. And then lastly is seven, which is just other. That is a catch-all for everything else that is not one through six. So I give you all of that detail to let you know that we understand that it is confusing, and two, when it comes down to what is and is not acceptable, does change really depending on your region. So there is no federal regulation when it comes to recycling. It is state by state. Even lower than that, it's municipality by municipality. So it can change without even having to travel that far. So at our facility, we go by the name of the Tri-County Recycling Facility because it's a partnership between Brown, Outagamie, and Winnebago. Even outside of that, we still collect recycling from a good portion of northeastern Wisconsin. The last time I checked, we were just under shy of 1 million residents that we do accept material from. It's about 16% of Wisconsin's recyclable market, so a large chunk flows through this facility. And again, when it comes to plastics, I like to tell people that if it's in your refrigerator, bathroom, or laundry room, there's a good chance that it's the right kind. When you get outside of those realms, it does get a little dicey. So when it comes to plastics, especially on our guides, we don't like to use those numbers because they can be confusing. Gotcha. We just say household bottles, jugs, and jars, deli containers, dairy containers, produce containers, and then everything with their lids.
Okay, so make sure you put the lid on.
Correct.
And so we're talking cottage cheese containers. Mm-hmm. We're talking yogurt containers. Not the cardboard ones, but the plastic ones. We're talking, as you said, laundry detergent bottles. What about medicine bottles?
That's a great question. Yes, provided that they are larger or wider than 2 inches. So everything that is curbside recyclable just needs to be larger than 2 inches, and that's just because of our processing facility here. Anything smaller than that falls through one of our screens that ends up on our broken glass line. So medicine bottles are, provided that they, like I said, larger, taller, both in height or width. So most medicine containers meet that criteria, with the exception of, I would say, the travel size ones are just too small.
I see. But things like the plastic film that's around your toilet, you know, when you buy the big old thing of toilet paper, that's not recyclable curbside, is it?
Correct. That film should be going to a store drop-off location. Most large grocery stores and retail stores have them in front of their main doors, and that is to provide a place for their customers to bring back their shopping bags.
As the organization or the group of people that does the curbside recycling for, as you said, Brown, Outagamie, Winnebago County, what is something that you see an error that you would like to see people fix before they put it into their single stream recycling?
Oh, great question. So since we're on the topic of the film bags, they are, I would say, our number one contaminator. So if you can have the cleanest recycling in the world, if you put it in a plastic bag and it gets picked up by your recycling truck, when it gets brought into our facility, it will get pulled off the line and unfortunately thrown away. So it's for a couple of reasons. One, we don't know what's in that bag. So our hand sorters have to deal with over 600,000 pounds of recyclable material each and every day that comes through our facility. So it comes through really fast. And as it's coming down the line, they're instructed to pull off contamination, things like film plastic, scrap metal, scrap pieces of wood, things that just aren't supposed to be here. When these bags come in, they can wreak havoc in our facility, actually getting wrapped up and tangled inside of our equipment, to the point that we actually have to send our sorting staff into these large machines every break and over lunch to physically cut plastic bags out of our equipment with power tools and grinders. So to avoid that from happening, we see those bags come in through our pre-sort room. Those hand sorters are instructed to pull that off the line and just throw it away. Now, I said there's two reasons. One, because that bag's going to get wrapped up and tangled. And the next reason is if they don't know what's inside of it, they could rip that bag open. It could just be garbage. It could be medical waste for all they know. And now you've just contaminated everything else on the belt. So because of those factors, that material is just pulled off. So notifying the public that it's not even just our facility. Most recycling facilities around the country want your material loose in the cart and not bagged.
That is so, I never knew that was the reason why we put it all in there loose. And, you know, you see so many other, say in Louisiana, you have the blue colored film bags that you're supposed to put your recycling in. But this way, I think makes it a lot easier for you. If it's in a bag, just toss it. How about cleaning? And the reason why I say how about cleaning is we actually have a couple of guys that said, oh, we never rinse our stuff. This doesn't matter. But it does matter, doesn't it?
It does matter. And again, I feel like I'm on repeat. There is a handful of reasons. Just one is general cleanliness. I can tell you a quarter fill milk jug in the middle of August is not going to be a hand sorter's best friend. So just remember that there are humans on the other side of this material. I like to tell people where we work here at the Tri-County Recycling Facility or even the landfill, we work with your out of sight and out of mind. So after you put something in the bin, you've forgotten about it. Well, now that becomes our entire world. So just remember there's that human aspect of it. So one, it's just a cleanliness issue. And two, there's that contamination. So by having that food waste on the product and material, we can potentially lose a lot of other would-be clean recyclable commodities that could be recycled and turned into new products. But because of the contamination from either the food waste or whatever was left inside that bottle, jug, or jar, it doesn't take a lot of effort. I know the biggest thing is, hey, what am I supposed to do with my peanut butter jar? Now, I'm not advocating you put it through the dishwasher. It does not have to be that clean. But what we tell people is as long as the chunks are out, a little hot soapy water, shake it out, rinse it out, you're fine. Again, doesn't need to be see-through. A little bit of peanut butter on the edges, totally fine. Same thing with your soup cans, hot soapy water, rinse it out, you are good to go. So just giving it a quick, honest effort goes miles when it comes to actually getting that material through our facility.
Is there anything else that you would like people to remember where plastics are concerned? I mean, we could talk all day recycling, you and I.
Yes.
I'm sure. I mean, once we get into paper and metal and all that. But where plastics are concerned is what I'm focusing on today. Is there anything you'd like to add that we haven't touched on?
Yep. So I've been in this position for about 2.5 years. And when I started, I really did not like the phrase, when in doubt, throw it out. I thought, no, I'm an avid recycler. We're going to get people the correct information. But having given so many tours of our recycling facility here and seen the plethora of material that comes through, I've come around to the phrase. We have this, the thing is, it's called wish cycling. So you have a plastic item, let's say a kid's toy or a coat hanger, and you think, okay, great, it's plastic, it goes in the bin. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Not every plastic is created equal, and not every plastic is curbside recyclable. So when it comes down to it, again, it's that household bottles, jugs and jars, deli containers, produce containers, bakery containers. If it's in your fridge, if you got it from a grocery store, there's a pretty good chance that it goes in the bin. But if I like to tell people, if it's Christmas time and you're trying to open that plastic packaging with a pair of scissors and you rip it and you have to go to the hospital because you need stitches now, anything like that, not curbside recyclable. Those coat hangers, those kids' toys, the 5-gallon pails, again, just because it's plastic doesn't mean it's acceptable. So really just giving people the education, the material, take a couple of seconds, do a quick search online, find your area, get that guide, find the correct information, really helps us so much. Sometimes it's not knowing what you should put in, it's knowing what you shouldn't put in. To leave it on a positive note, there's so many good things that come from recycling. So especially in your area for your listeners, I will tell them that recycling is happening. So I know the big thing is they say, hey, everything just goes to landfills and it doesn't work. We have what is known as the residual rate. So that's basically the trash line. How much garbage is coming in that doesn't get recycled that goes to landfills? The average residual rate for Mercer on the country is anywhere between 20 and 25%. So that means a quarter of all incoming material is basically going straight to landfills. Over the last 3 years, we've averaged right around 10%. So we're half of the national average. And that speaks volumes to our members of the community and what they're sending us, as well as our sorting staff and the equipment. So for easy round numbers, say we take in 100,000 tons of material, 90,000 of those went back to market to be recycled. So those are really, really good stats for the community to know that what they're doing is making a difference. And here at the Tri-County Recycling Facility, we offer something really cool to anybody and everybody that would love to see what we do here. We give tours Monday through Friday. Any day of the week, you can email us, send us a note, say, hey, I want to know what you guys do there. And I bring people through the facility pretty much every week. I think that's one of the best parts about my job, is getting to a look behind the curtain and show people how we do it and where it goes.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
All right. I'm all on board.
So to recap quickly, plastic films and bags need to be taken to the store to be recycled. Don't put plastic bags in your single stream recycling bin. Household plastics and plastic containers from your kitchen, bath, and laundry room are recyclable. And rinse first if you can. Still ahead, music from a wonderful duo writing about life, making a difference, and the love they discovered while at a Northeast Wisconsin high school. This is New Wisco Weekend.
Minute powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. An unwelcome surprise for Wisconsin farmers looking to apply for the Federal Rural Energy for America program, or REAP. The popular program helps rural small businesses and farmers invest in money-saving energy efficiency upgrades and clean energy. But the application window that was supposed to open July 1st was abruptly closed by the USDA. The agency says it's delaying the grant application window. The EPA is awarding a $700,000 grant to help Kenosha County pay for the final phase of restoration of the Pike River. Crews are restoring banks and habitat along the river and planting native pollinator-friendly plants. The project is aimed at improving the quality of water flowing into Lake Michigan. For a deep dive into environmental issues impacting Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Wisconsin Elections Commission issued a highly critical report of the City of Madison's former clerk after investigating how 193 mail-in ballots were left uncounted after the 2024 general election. The clerk was suspended by the city, then subsequently resigned. November 12th, a staff member alerted City Clerk Mary Beth Witzel Bell that a sealed ballot courier bag had been found, but Witzel Bell allegedly gave the staff no instructions to open or otherwise investigate, did not alert state or county officials, and went on vacation the next day. Just before Thanksgiving, unaware that an unopened bag had been found, an elections inspector reported a discrepancy in wards 56 and 65. December 2nd, inspectors found another unopened courier bag containing 125 uncounted ballots. The 400-page report found several leadership and procedural failures. It concluded, quote, rather than acknowledge these significant errors, the city clerk and her staff either ignored the issue or willfully refused to inform the necessary parties and seek assistance. These actions resulted in nearly 200 lawful voters' votes going uncounted, an unconscionable result, unquote. The report orders the City of Madison to complete several procedural reforms before the next statewide election in February 2026. We've linked to the full report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our partners like your local county veteran service officer, we can help access the benefits you've earned and the support you need. For more information, please visit WISVETS.com. That's WISVETS.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. We enjoy ending every issue by sharing some great Wisconsin-made music with you. Here's 7,000 Apart and their visit with Nightlight with Pete Schwabba just a few days ago.
I caught a bad piece of love of you. Why do you do the things you do?
That's awesome.
a great tune.
Thank you. Yeah, it's new.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on the
What's
new album.
What's going on in that song a little bit? I caught most of it, but...
There's so many parts to it, so it's very hard to... Are you talking like lyrically or just
yeah,
like in general?
Just like, yeah, because there was a moment, and this is right where my kind of comedy brain went to, but where you guys looked at each other and you gave each other kind of a cute look. And for those of you listening that don't know, they are a couple, 7,000 apart. They're a married couple. So you guys gave each other a nice look. And I thought, what if they weren't getting along on that day? would you still have that sort of...
I mean, that's kind of what it is. Like, when we were in long distance, so for those who don't know, that's what the 7,000 apart. So we were in a long distance relationship for 3 years, but we were 7,000 kilometers apart from each other, which is like 4,382.5 miles-ish.
Meeting here in Green Bay in high school.
Yes, that was an exchange. I'm from Sweden originally. Yeah, our relationship wasn't always great because like long distance is really, really hard.
Tough, yeah.
And so there were times where, it didn't feel like a good thing necessarily. And we weren't like great for each other. But the thing is, like, we were always great for each other when we were together.
How was Summerfest? Because I almost forgot to ask you that.
Insane.
Really?
Absolutely insane. I mean, it's the biggest stage we've ever been on, I think.
Yeah.
This was the U.S. Cellular stage. Like, you can see it from the highway. Like, that's how big the stage is. Yeah. Like, how insane
was
is
it
that?
Scary?
I was actually not nervous.
I was just so excited and just had fun. It was like, there were like 10 people behind stage, like, helping out to make it happen. And it's like... That doesn't happen for us. Normally, we have to do everything.
We normally have to set up all the speakers and all the lights, and we just showed up.
Just showed up and did our thing for an hour and left.
We had a backstage area. Like, we had a little green room. Like,
there's a bathroom.
Free water.
It was amazing.
Come on.
There was free water as well. Incredible.
So that's the biggest venue you've played. You played for an hour. Did you do all original stuff or some covers?
Basically, we did like three covers,
so
maybe,
great.
I think.
Yeah.
But it was great. We worked with a live stagecoach from Nashville and
the same week
for rehearsing.
So we felt really ready and just excited.
One of the biggest music festivals in the world.
Yeah.
What a thrill. Another song in before the break?
Yeah, sure. We can do that. Let's do our next single. Mm-hmm. It's coming out August 7th.
Okay.
We're only releasing on the 7th from now on.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's good luck, right?
You like sevens for some reason. Right.
That sounds like a song, too. All right. John and Emily, 7,000 apart.
Another long distance one.
Sweet.
I left my favorite jacket in the backseat of your Saab 94. It's not something I've done before. What was I thinking? Cause I don't even know the person you left behind. Now we're 4,000 miles apart. Did I leave my heart in the backseat? Cause I wanted you to have it. Why I won't survive another goodbye. No, what were we thinking? Cause I don't even know the person you are left behind. Now we're 4,000 miles apart. Did you leave your heart with me? Cause you wanted me to have it.
For being a part of New Wisco Weekend and our look at plastics and recycling. New Wisco Weekend is produced and directed by Lisa Hale, written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, Pete Schwaba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Trump administration attempting another step to move past criticism over how it's handled information regarding Jeffrey Epstein. ABC's Olivia Rubin explains.
The Department of Justice now officially asking the courts to unseal those grand jury transcripts in the case of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. It's a move that makes good on a recent promise from President Trump as he tries to find an off-ramp and tamp down some of that outrage coming from within his own base over his administration's handling of the case.
President suing the Wall Street Journal and its owner Rupert Murdoch for $10 billion, alleging defamation in the Journal's article that Trump sent Epstein a letter for his birthday in 2003. The Journal says it stands by its reporting. ABC News has not confirmed the letter's existence. Three people are in critical condition. A total of 30 were hurt when a vehicle plowed into a group outside of a Los Angeles nightclub overnight. The cause under investigation. This is ABC News. Federal